It is a pleasure to introduce to you Brother Russell Pollock of the Los Angeles Ecclesia, who will speak to us on the topic, Watch and Pray.
Watch and pray. And all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he shall say unto me. Write the vision, make it plain upon tables, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and shall not lie. Although it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Ye are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be on guard. But I say unto you, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch and pray. To watch means that one must be awake. To be on guard is as a sentinel who is on guard because there are enemies close at hand. And to watch is to stand fast in the faith. Are we at the end of the age? Do we see danger signals of destruction to this order of things in which we live? Do the dangers and problems of the world leave us appalled, or do they cause us to rejoice? Many people say concerning the events that are in the world today that history is merely repeating itself, that conditions today are very little different from the conditions that existed in past generations. And so we ask, is this the proper appraisal? Certainly, we as truth people have waited long, and our disappointment as to the year of our deliverance has really been many. But is it true that since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation? Now, we are watchers, and this morning we're going to talk a little bit about the things that our watching has told us. Are we really living in the last days? Let us stand upon the tower as watchers and see what we shall see and what he shall say unto us. Now, where shall we begin? Well, we'll begin with population explosion. There are 3,600,000,000 people living on earth today, and millions of these are now in need of food. Millions are now starving. Millions more are undernourished. But in the year 2000, and that's only 28 years from now, world population will have doubled. There will be 7 billion people to feed, to clothe, to shelter, And we know that it will take the kingdom to take care of them at that time. Many experts say population explosion and pollution are the most important aspects of our survival. And we as watchers, when we see this one condition in the earth, are inclined to lift up our voice and shout that surely this is one of the evidences that we are living in the last days. Let us look for a little while at the Jewish people, a nation scattered and dispersed for centuries, and now, in our lifetime, we have seen prophecy fulfilled. Jeremiah saw our day and recorded in Jeremiah 16:14-16 present day history. Therefore the days come, saith the Lord, not that the Lord brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and all the lands. And I will bring them again to their own land, and I will send fishers and hunters and so forth. And the Master, speaking of the days of His presence, which is the days of harvest, which is the end of the age, the last days, spoke prophetically of Israel as a fig tree, and said that when Israel was gathered to her land, that the summer of blessing would be nigh, yea, even at the doors. And therefore we, as watchers who have watched the fortunes of Israel in our own lifetime, cry that we find ourselves living in the consummation of the age. Daniel, the 12th chapter, is important here. Verse 1 says, and at that time shall Michael stand up. And then Daniel heard God saying to him, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, knowledge shall be increased, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Now, is this just a passing phase? Will world conditions straighten themselves up? Will things gradually improve? Now I'm going to tell you why I particularly chose this topic this morning. Because those words were exactly what a college graduated son of a Bible student mother told his mother was going to happen when he came back from college with a sheepskin under his arm. He said, sincere men will turn this technological progress into a better world with better living conditions than we have ever had before, and that it will affect all people, and you are going to be disappointed in what you have looked for all your Christian life. And she was at a loss to answer. And there may be others in that same attitude of mind, overcome by the presumed wisdom of this world. But as watchers, what is our answer? It is one thing for isolated local conditions to improve. That is possible. But here is a prophecy that speaks of conditions in an entire globe, affected not by one event, but affected by three events. time of trouble, increase in knowledge, running to and fro, and all three taking place concurrently in the same generation, in our generation. And so we see today, in our generation, Bible prophecy being fulfilled. We are watchers on the tower. And as watchers, we thrill by what we see. And as we see it, we are bound to shout so that all can hear that Michael is standing up, and we know that we are living in the last days. That's one of the things that makes us truth people. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 7 and 8, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow." In 1914, World War I began. I was a call porter in the backwoods of British Columbia one day when we met a man running down the road. He says, Haven't you heard? And I said, "No, I hadn't heard anything." He said, "We're at war." And that was my introduction to the First World War. And we found out that it was total war. Nations rise against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. Never had so many nations been involved in war before. It was a legacy of death. And need I speak of the famines from that time until Bangladesh that have literally taken millions of people in death? Famines indeed. And need I speak of pestilences from that time when the Spanish influenza took 21 millions of lives, 850,000 of them in America alone, to the present epidemics of cancer and venereal disease and drug abuse and heart trouble? Yes, the Lord says, these are the beginning of sorrows. These are the first of the travails that will bring to birth a new order. And the great Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and the 2nd and 3rd verses says, "The day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman." And I am sure most of us know that the same word translated sorrows in the 24th chapter of Matthew is the same word that is translated travail in 1 Thessalonians 5. No wonder the apostle said, when we get down to the 6th verse, "Watch and be sober." And so, we, as Bible students, have watched the travails of this world from 1914 until now, and as Bible students, we know that these travails will soon bring to birth the new order, God's new order. And so again, as watchers, we are glad to be able to shout, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand." We're glad we know that. And then don't forget the United Nations. Not only nations rising against war, but also the nations assembling themselves in an attempt for peace. The watchers have seen nations brought together, kingdoms united for safety and survival. But we know that they are brought together to be broken to pieces, the Bible says. Isaiah puts it that way, and Zephaniah quotes the Lord as saying, "I will gather the nations, I will assemble the kingdoms, They may think for peace, but as Bible students, we read the prophecy that says to pour upon them all mine indignation, yea, even all my fierce anger, for the whole world will be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. The watchers know that. They see this. They rejoice. Why? Because we know that after the breaking to pieces, he will turn unto the people a pure language, that they might all call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one consent. And then again, there's inflation. Some people think that we have inflation today. But when it really comes, those who have heaped treasure together for the last days will find that neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. Now, we know that. We know that because James, under inspiration in chapter 5, verse 5, 1-5 says so. Zephaniah 1:18 says so. Ezekiel 7:9 says so. And so therefore, those who are concerned about the little inflation that they have today, we say they ain't seen nothing yet. And one more, to give an answer not only to the mother of whom I spoke, but also because there may be others like her that needs the reassurance of the day in which we live. Jesus said in Matthew, the 13th chapter and the 39th verse, the harvest is the end of the age. And we are living in this harvest time. We have watched the harvesting of the wheat. Luke 12:37 says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down and will come forth and serve them. And we recognize that this also is a sign of the day in which we are living. Thank God that we have been called at the end of the age, in the time of the harvest, and that we have been served the truths on the Lord's table that we have found spiritually refreshing. Now, the events that I have recounted, and there are many more, identify our generation as living in the last days. As surely as your fingerprints identify you and you alone, so also your fingerprints are exclusive only of yourself. The days in which we live have a pattern of fingerprints on the hand of this generation. They have the fingerprint of population explosion and pollution. They have the fingerprint of Israel. They have the fingerprint of the increase in knowledge, of running to and fro, even to the moon. They have the fingerprint of world war. They have the fingerprint of harvest truth. These fingerprints are for no other generation but the generation in which we live. Any more than the fingerprints on that hand of mine can belong to any other person but to me. Remember, it is not just one finger on which we are depending in the assurance of our faith. All five come together on the same hand. So many signs that we could take all of our time in recounting, but we're not going to do it. But all focused on this generation, all on the finger of God. Are we children of the light? Are we watchers? Are we on guard? If so, then as we look at the fingerprints that God has given us of the day in which we live, we are bound to be rejoicing watchers. For we know, yes, we know by these fingerprints the day in which we are living. But we must watch. We must be on guard for other things besides the signs of the times. It's fun to look at the signs of the times, but here is something else to watch, more serious. The Apostle Paul, under the power of the Holy Spirit, admonished us, as he did the elders of Ephesus, in Acts, the 20th chapter, and the 30th and the 31st verses, of your own selves shall men arise. Now, immediately we note that this is an internal affair. Of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. Why should they do that? In order to discount something, not particularly, but principally in order to draw away disciples after themselves. And then he says, therefore watch. And remember, he said also, I cease not to warn you night and day with tears. And so, I ask myself, am I watching? Have I heard the warning of the Word of God? Am I watching against all things that tend to injure or divide the Church of God? The Apostle wept about this temptation in his day. And may our watching and may our tears be rewarded now. The church today, as in past generations, are called upon to watch. And the church must watch, must struggle in order to maintain our integrity. And sometimes we find that this is difficult to do. Reformers come and make progress, but after their death, followers build creed fences around their idols and progress stops. History has recorded a succession of such events with which we are all familiar. Is this one thing that even we must watch? And as we watch, we realize that discipleship is not easy. We do not come by the disciples of Jesus Christ cheaply. Discipleship has always required courage. Even Jesus was crucified by popular demand and with the approval of many who but a short time before had heard him gladly. And is our generation of the followers of Jesus Christ to find it any different? No wonder we have been admonished, let us watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. We have been given many exhortations to watch, to be watchful, by our Lord and by the apostles. And I'm not going to read them all, but I am going to read some in the allotted time. And I read these only to whet your appetite so that you can take up this subject of watching and praying and continue it after you get home from this convention. For further study, I give you the first one, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It says be vigilant. You know, that word only occurs once in the Bible, and that's in the text that I just read to you. Be vigilant. The Greek word that is translated vigilant in this text, in every other occurrence in the Bible, is translated watchful. Be awake. Be on the alert. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Because the devil is our adversary. And don't you be forgetting it. And as a lion, he would devour his prey. As God's children, we are the prey of Satan. And so, we have to watch. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with love. Now, Paul said that, and I ask myself, am I watching? Am I on guard as a sentinel when the enemy is near? Am I standing fast in the faith? It is by the Word of God and His Spirit that we stand our ground in this hour of temptation. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Let us watch and guard it. Quit ye like men, be strong. Now, men should be known for their strength, for their sound judgment, and for their firm resolution. And as Bible students, may we have a sound mind and a firm resolution to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Remember that these are the things that makes it worthwhile being a Bible student. But let us also remember that the apostle adds, let all your things be done in love. And he took time to outline and define what love was in the 13th chapter of this same book of 1 Corinthians. We will never appear to better advantage than when we do things in a loving spirit. We will never appear to better advantage than when we manifest the spirit of understanding and sympathy in our attitude toward others. Even though they may mistake our motives, even though they may see less essential things in a different light than we do, that should not prevent us from manifesting the spirit of understanding as the Spirit of the Lord. Now I'm going to digress for a moment, because as you all know, I like the younger generation and I hold the younger generation in very high esteem. And I can say, thank God that the vast majority of our young people and younger people, if you do not think that you classify yourself as young person, are wholesome and clean, and that our younger generation have healthy attitudes toward the Lord and the truth and the brethren. Now, some of we older folks may permit emotions and prejudice and tradition to play too large a part in our lives. We try not to, but sometimes we may. Sometimes our older brains don't like the effort that is necessary to change our minds as the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The collective practice of religion is quite common in this world. Catholics and others demand conformity to the authority of man-made creeds, and we all know that. But there is a wide gap between that and our individual consecration to God, the individual right of opinion. And this individual right of opinion, except on very fundamental issues, is the best way to serve in our fellowship one with another. Because this grants spiritual freedom not only to ourselves, but to our brethren. And the right to express opposite opinion is healthy as long as it is given in a constructive spirit. Today, as never before, you as the younger generation want to do those things which are pleasing to the Lord. Now, the younger generation of this world speak of becoming involved. You hear that expression quite often. They want to become involved, and some of them in politics, and some of them in better government, and some doing good to the downtrodden of humanity, and all that is good and fine and commendable for one who is not called with a heavenly calling. But my wish for you is, seeing that you have been called with a heavenly calling, that if you have not already become involved, that you do become involved in the greatest involvement that is possible in this world. Involved as a child of God in the truths of God's Word. Involved in proclaiming the message of the kingdom of God. Now remember that you are a watchman on the tower, and the watchman who keeps his mouth shut, no matter what he sees, is of no use at all. He wasn't given the job of being a watchman on the tower to keep silent, but to tell what he saw. Therefore, as watchmen on the tower, let us see the events of the day in which we are living, and let us tell the whole world these blessed tidings. You have been given to understand the greatest treasures of the universe, the purposes of God. And I say, get involved by telling the whole world these blessed tidings. Tell of the time of rest that nears. Tell the oppressed of every nation that he rises to shine 1,000 years. And as you become involved, you will find a sense of happiness, a peace of mind, and a deep communion with God that you never thought possible. And not only that, you will find in these matters of involvement greater wealth than you will ever be able to accumulate in material things. For then your life and your faith will coincide with your desire to know and to do the will of God. Those of us who are watchers have come to realize that the road is longer than we expected it to be. But today we have seen some landmarks. We have seen some signs. The time is at hand, we read. And also it is nigh, yea, even at the doors. And so in deep humility, we think of our Master's words, "Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." And again in Mark 13:33, "Take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." And now just one more verse. Colossians 4:1. "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Brethren, we have much to be thankful for. Thankful for the truth. Thankful that the Lord has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Thankful for God's providences in our lives. Thankful to be at this convention. And thankful to find the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of unity in this convention. And thankful to find the Spirit of dedication in the minds and the hearts of our brethren. Thankful for the joy of being watchers. "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his dark garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." You know why that text is in the Bible. In the temple, if a person was on guard, he had to stay awake, because the head used to come around and see if he was awake or asleep. And if he was asleep, his punishment was to take his garments off him, and he would have to walk and parade with the other guards that had been awake while he was asleep. Now I want to read that text again. "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Now we have come to this convention to get a fresh outlook. Spiritual outlook, a clear vision, imbibing fresh understanding, growing in grace, refilling the wellsprings of a happy, joyful, watchful Christian life. And I pray that this convention will accomplish that. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. And looking back, we'll praise the way that the Lord has led us all the way and day by day as we manifest in our lives the work of faith, the labor of love, and the patience of hope. And so therefore, brethren, in conclusion, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch.